The Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Happy Tuesday, guys.
Happy Tuesday.
Hello there.
And I'm so glad it's no longer April Fool's Day.
Yes.
Yes, we survived.
Me too.
You had a few pranks played
on
you throughout the day?
I didn't, actually. I'm kind of relieved.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. So, we all got through it, that's for sure.
We made it.
Well, today is the feast day of St. Francis of Paola, something of that nature, P-A-O-L-A. As they say in the radio industry years ago, Paola.
But that meant something else.
That was bad news. Yeah, exactly. So
wrong answer.
Wrong answer is right. So that's not it. So but
that was
Saint
queued
Francis,
up.
Yeah,
Saint
I like
Francis,
that.
We
Jeff knew we were going to say it wrong.
We're going to offer up a prayer.
That's
right. And in his behalf, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. O most holy Saint Francis, God gives wisdom to the simple and makes the merest child wise. Pray that he grants me this reward he promises to the humble through your intercession. Help me always to make a good examination of conscience and confession. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Damian. We have a wonderful lineup for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area at 10 after. You can find all of these events at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Tom Costanza joins us. He is the executive director of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. And today he's going to be updating us on some legislation over in the capital city. And we're going to be talking about Faithful Citizenship Day that is coming up. So he'll give us all of those details. Very important, especially this year as we head to the polls. So looking forward to speaking to Tom about that. In 35 minutes, Michael Accaldo joins us. He's the executive director of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. He'll be updating us. Just a whole day of executive directors joining us. And Connie Marshner will be with us in 48 after. She's talking about Irish Catholic traditions with her new book, Monastery and High Cross, The Forgotten Eastern Roots of Irish Christianity. And none other than the Irish himself, David Dawson.
I'm not that Irish.
Connie.
I mean, it's my heritage.
Looking forward
But I am looking forward to it. Yes.
So we're looking forward to today's show and lineup. Great information, wonderful guests. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. What do you have for us today?
Well, like yesterday, it's going to be very cloudy this morning as we get our day started. And the clouds will continue and eventually make way for what is a 40% chance of rain and thunderstorms, which are pushing toward the east. Now, this front won't last very long. Should get into our area sometime mid or late afternoon, maybe even into the early nighttime hours. But again, it won't last long. Winds are blowing at the southwest at 10 to 20 miles an hour currently. The good news is, once that rain is gone, we're going to have perfect weather for the next 3 days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, high is going to be in the mid-70s, low in the upper 80s at night. No rain for the next 3 days. That's good news. Temperatures in and around the area right now. 70 degrees in Biloxi. It's 71 also in Mandeville, 72 in Houma Thibodaux. New Orleans warming up nicely already, 74 degrees. And in Baton Rouge, still a little chilly, but not bad. It's really, with that warm breeze, it's perfect. 69 degrees. And right now it's 5 after the hour on this Tuesday morning, so get up, get after it. And at the same time, we've got some events coming your way, as well as the Gospel in Reflection on Wake Up.
blessed Tuesday within the Easter octave to you. Today's gospel is taken from John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Mary Magdalene gives us the example of a powerful love that must animate our search for the Lord. She seeks Jesus with the intensity of the bride in the Song of Songs. "I sought him whom my heart loves. I sought him, but I did not find him." And when Jesus reveals himself, she held him and would not let him go, like the bride. But Mary needed to let go of the past relationship so that the risen Jesus could transform her as she experienced a deep longing of missing his physical presence. Jesus then trusted her to witness the reality of his resurrection to the apostles. "I have seen the Lord." Mary's transformation in her relationship to Jesus and the mission he gave her is the same for every follower of Christ. We too are called to seek Jesus intensely and with great love, often with a deep longing and dead feelings that long for the experience of his love. Sometimes we are dry and feel even aversion. Jesus seems far away. We must trudge on, allowing him to possess our hearts and change our lives amid the absence of feelings or even with adverse feelings. Like Mary, we each have a general mission within our particular mission to proclaim the risen Lord, especially by the example of the way his transforming love has changed us. Miracle of miracles. It's available to everyone. There are times amid spiritual darkness and other trials when the light of Christ's love bursts through and inflames our emotions. And then the experience is so real, it's easy for us to say, "I have seen the Lord." Mary Magdalene made the great discovery. Loving God is the greatest of all romances. Seeking for Jesus is the greatest of all adventures. Finding Jesus is the greatest of all achievements. And then, to our amazement, we recognize that all the time, Jesus was there, like a beggar, knocking on the door of our heart, asking us to let him in. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and Father Chris Decker. It is Tuesday morning, April 2nd, and so glad you could join us here on Wake Up. Have some events we want to share with you. On April 13th, which is a Saturday, there will be a couples gathering. It's for a night of spiritual insight and socializing. Bring your own chairs, your favorite beverage, and learn basically how to develop your family's faith beyond the basic spiritual stories. It's going to be held at Cajun Corner. And oh, yes. It's here in Baton Rouge at 17465 Opportunity Avenue. They do this about once every month to 6 weeks. And again, building your domestic church with the Building Blocks of Faith series. So it's going to be ongoing. And what they really focus on is you'll discover the biblical truths of the sacraments, the liturgy, and much more to help build your domestic church. So husbands, grab your wives. Wives, grab your husbands and show up. It's from 6 o'clock. The door's going to be open 7 o'clock, April 13th at Cajun Corner. We'll have this info for you at ccmedia.live.
All right. And then on April 16th, Dan Burke is coming to town, and he's going to talk about the purgative, illuminative, and unitive ways through the teachings of St. Teresa of Avila. And that's going to be at Sacred Heart Church. That's on Main Street, and that's in Baton Rouge. That's Sacred Heart Church in Baton Rouge. It's going to be a Mass at 6 p.m., and then he will speak from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Also, on the 20th, let me pull it up here. There we are. On the 20th, Dan Burke is still going to be in town. He's going to be speaking at St. Agnes Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. And the topic is going to be spiritual warfare and the discernment of spirits. Okay. And that is going to be at in the morning. Okay. It is going to be 7:30. They're going to have confessions available. They're going to have an 8 a.m. Mass. And then 9 o'clock's registration, and then the event begins at 9:30. So Dan Burke's going to be having two presentations here in Baton Rouge. The first one at Sacred Heart, the second one at St. Agnes, both in Baton Rouge. Go to ccmedia.live for more information on those.
Exciting. Well, tomorrow, April 3rd, and Thursday, April 4th, the Divine Mercy Choir will be singing the music of St. Faustina over at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans. It starts at 7 p.m., and it's going to be a wonderful night. Archbishop Gregory Amon invites everyone to attend, and looking forward to that. It's at 7 p.m., April 3rd and 4th. CCmedia.live is where you can go and take a look at the flyer.
And married couples, as we remain on that topic, there's going to be a retreat for you if you'd like to attend at St. Jude Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. It will be Saturday, April 13th. It'll go on from 9 to 4. And the bottom line, the speakers is Chris and Becky Eldridge. And the cost, only $25 a couple, and that'll include your lunch, refreshments, and study materials. And it may be a great afternoon and an early morning situation. So it's usually about 3 or 4 hours, but you'll have a good time, and it'll be good for you as a married couple to kind of get your Easter season started off on the right foot, because Easter lasts quite a while.
50 days.
Yeah, count them, baby.
50 days.
Yep.
All right. Well, it's 15 after if you're keeping time, and we're coming back with our guest in just a moment, so don't go too far.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 2nd. Today we celebrate St. Francis of Paola. By the time he was a teenager, Francis of Paola already had a reputation for sanctity. By age 20, he was living a hermit's life of solitude, prayer, and fasting in a cave in southern Italy. Soon others joined him, and a new religious order emerged, the Hermits of St. Francis of Assisi. Humility was the hallmark of the brothers. In addition to poverty, chastity, and obedience, members of the community also vowed a perpetual Lenten fast. Francis would have been content to spend the remainder of his life this way, but his talents and his church called him to a more apostolic focus. He began to use his remarkable gifts of miracles and prophecy. He defended the poor and oppressed. After 30 years in Italy, Francis was asked by the Pope to travel to Paris to help King Louis of France prepare for his death. During this time, Francis was also influential in the political realm, helping to restore peace between France and Brittany, as well as between France and Spain. Francis died on Good Friday in the year 1507. He was canonized 12 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. We are so grateful that you are joining us wherever you are. And I hope you're having a wonderful morning. Drive safely to work today. Or if you're staying at home, spring break, I hope that it's off to a wonderful and slow and relaxing start. Well, Tom Costanza joins us. He's our first guest today. He is the executive director for the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops, and he is so busy. We have so much to talk about. Tom, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about what's going on at the Capitol with the bishops and how we're trying to move the state forward.
Definitely. You and I chatted a little bit a couple of weeks ago about Faithful Citizenship Day, and that is quickly approaching on April 17th. Tell our listeners about this jam-packed day and how they can participate.
Sure. This is our third year, and we've built it up. We have 90 registrants and climbing, and this year we've added some high schools, Catholic High in Baton Rouge and Rummel in New Orleans and St. Joseph Academy in Baton Rouge. And, you know, it's important our young people understand, you know, our Catholic social teaching and how to apply it to the issues of the day. So excited about that. So Bishop Duke will be there. It'll be at, we'll start at St. Joseph Hall right by the Capitol, you know, and we'll do a little orientation about our priorities for this session, and we'll go over to the Capitol to the committee meetings. Participants will be able to put in cards if we're supporting that particular piece of legislation that day or opposition. We're trying to meet some schedule some meetings with some of the legislators so they could have one-to-one meetings, and then we'll come back for Mass at 12:05. And then we'll have lunch with the legislators and then go back to the chamber where they'll have the chamber debates. So it's a pretty full day, and looking forward to it. You know, the issues this session, this is a general session. It's going to last till June 3rd. They may have a constitutional convention that's being talked about as well. But, you know, What we're concerned about this session is helping moms, you know, after Roe v. Wade. So we have some bills that are going to create a pregnancy center initiative. You know, we have some bills that will improve maternal care, adoption. So that's a big area for us. And as we talked about as well, education is really the primary focus of the session, along with insurance. But, you know, we do have that bill to look at what's called parental choice, and all the Catholic school superintendents are looking at it very closely. That's going to take a while to roll out. There's going to be 1 year of planning. So you're looking at really in March of 2025, where kids will start enrolling, and they'll probably enroll those kids in our scholarship program first. So it's going to be a slow rollout, which I think is good because other states have maybe rolled it out too fast. So that's a big area for us as well.
Tom, one of the things, this is a tense year. We have so many things going on as far as politics goes. And I think the part where we can no longer dialogue with each other is an issue. But really what it means to us as Catholics is important. And I think it's kind of blurred, right? Which you're either this type of person or you're this type of person, but you're Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a situation that a lot of us are struggling with. Can you kind of talk about the topics that you focus on primarily as Catholics and those who want to know a little bit more about where they stand with politics and where the church stands?
Yes, that's a very good question. So the way we look at it is through the lens of, you know, Catholic social teaching, and the first principle is the life and dignity of the human person. So, of course, you know, as a Catholic, you know, we believe life is sacred from conception to natural death. So, therefore, there's a lot of issues that fall within that, right? And, you know, we believe in family as a central and domestic church. So, you know, as Catholics, legislation that will help build up the family is our lens, you know, and the option for the poor and vulnerable. So anything to do with helping the poor become self-sufficient. So, and then, you know, certainly dignity of work and rights of workers and the environment. So really, we're blessed with our rich tradition of Catholic social teaching. So it really is a gift to us. And, you know, we're able as Catholics to, you know, use that as a lens, right, to apply our faith through these principles that these principles have been based on the life of Jesus Christ, on Scripture, on our long tradition of the church, on our teaching. So I think it's a very good question, and I get it a lot, like, you're in a session and, you know, there's Democrat, Republican, and Independent to a certain extent. But, you know, as Catholics, we should be bold and have courage that we have a rich tradition, and we can say our we don't fall on either side. You know, we just say this is an issue in the South stand. So, but then I think your other point, too, is the civil dialogue, you know, and for us as church, we have to be that bridge. We have to try as much as possible to be that bridge that does a civil dialogue. And I know the bishops have been encouraging us in that way to continue to dialogue with people and do it in a respectful way, but have good conversations.
Yes, and I know that we've been talking about the death penalty on the morning show and where the church stands on that. It is very clear, obviously, with abortion. But I think it's important, and something that you mentioned, Tom, is young people getting involved, particularly high school students. There's a popular singer out there who distributed the abortion pill at one of her concerts not too long ago. Which was quite disturbing to hear. And I think it's important that young people, especially high schoolers who listen to her music, know exactly what's going on here, right? When it comes to the abortion pill, when it comes to the dignity of human life, why is it important for high school students to really get involved? Because either they are 18 or they are about to be 18, they're heading over to the polls and they're going to change the trajectory of where our country is going.
Yes, and if you look at all, you know, young people have been at the center of change, and so imagine the powerful force we have with all our Catholic high school students, and I can tell you the energy they bring when I go to the legislature and they see young people. I mean, it really is an opportunity for them to we'll give them a little education on the issues. But, I mean, their mere presence there shows the legislature that the Catholic Church is there, you know, and it's young and it's vibrant and it's interested in the issues of the day. And we have our Catholic social teaching. And I'm pretty sure in all of these high schools, they're getting classes on social teaching. And so this will be an opportunity for them to actually apply it. You
that
know, and so we're, it's not going to be some theory, you know, they probably learned these principles and they'll have a chance to apply it. So we're looking forward to the young church being there.
Yeah. Well, I highly recommend, we could go on and on with this segment, but I highly recommend subscribing to Tom's emails because they're very detailed of what he's up to every month and what they're doing with legislation. But I want to circle back to Faithful Citizenship Day. Where can people go to register, and is there a fee?
Sure. No, it's sponsored by the Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Bishops of Louisiana. So just come on down. We'll feed you well, we'll give you transportation to the Capitol. So the number you could do two ways. Just email Susan Wolf at swolf, that's S-W-O-L-F, at laccb.org, or call her at 225-344-7120. And you did mention our website, www.laccb.org. And if you just hit take action and register, you'll get the weekly updates that you just mentioned about and kind of keep up with what's going on at the legislature from the Catholic perspective.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tom Costanza, Executive Director of the Louisiana Conference of Catholic Bishops. Like Tom said, laccb.org is where you can go and find out more information about what he does and what's going on with pro-life legislation and legislation in general. And take a look at Faithful Citizenship Day on April 17th. Thank you so much, Tom, for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby, and thanks to everybody. I appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Have a good one.
Thanks. Well, this is a day full. It's full. I mean, you start at 8:45. There, like he said, there's opportunity for Mass right before lunch.
Yeah.
And then at 3:30, there's a closing prayer. So it's full, and you'll definitely learn a lot that day. So
oh, yeah,
I'm
pack
glad
the place.
To hear that, sir. Yeah, there's going to be some high school students taking part in this as well.
Great.
So.
Great.
Definitely take a look.
Yeah, that gives
at
that. You hope. That so. Gives you hope. And some of the positive aspects of what they're talking about doing. When he said the Pregnancy Center Initiatives, I think it's heading in a good direction. Or it could, we hope.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, someone else who's heading in the right direction is Michael Acaldo. He does so much in the Baton Rouge area to help those who really need it. So we're going to be talking about that with him coming up right after the break. It's 6:30 on Wake Up.
Back 35 after the hour, 25 minutes before the top. And with us now, Michael Acaldo, Executive Director of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. He's a regular guest with us at least once a month. We're so excited to talk to him today because, boy, do they have a recap of what's been going on in our community and the city of Baton Rouge and the capital city and surrounding areas. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Damien. It's great to be with y'all.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a breather for a moment with you. And at the same time, what I want to ask you is what was the outcome of your Build a Basket? Let's start with that campaign because, boy, you made a lot of youngsters happy this Easter.
No doubt about it. 3,500 plus. That's how many Easter baskets we distributed. Just a phenomenal campaign, and you know, this program is run by Deshae Martin at St. Vincent de Paul, and it's one staff person and then just hundreds of volunteers that make that a reality. And we had more than enough baskets this year. We're getting nervous, you know, because cost of everything's going up, but it didn't impact our ability to reach children in need. So we were very, very thankful for everybody that donated. And it's still not too late to donate to the great work of St. Vincent de Paul. Never is. You know, the Easter season starts on Easter Sunday, and it continues throughout the entire Easter season. So I think that just a fantastic thing. So we appreciate y'all's support and everything y'all did to let people know about it. We appreciate everybody in the community.
How did you distribute those? And then we're going to go on to another topic I want to touch on.
A variety of ways, but really through our St. Vincent de Paul conferences that make home visits, through our partnerships like with the Hispanic Apostolate and the good work they do, and others throughout the community that we work with at identifying law enforcement even, that we identify children in need and we're able to get those volunteers to not only help us put the baskets together, but bring them to the children that desperately need that smile on their face.
That's awesome. Easter Sunday.
No doubt about it. Yeah, it is cool.
Michael, with St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge, he's got an army of people, 1,500 strong on average each month, volunteering to help out and reaching out to those in need in the community. And, of course, we were promoting the Count Your Blessings, what I call the Supper Soup Parade, you had over at Our Lady of Mercy in conjunction with Chef John Foles. I'm sure that was a big success as well. How many bags of 2-pound potato and shrimp soup did you serve?
You know, hundreds. And I can't say thank you all enough for y'all promoting the event And Chef John Foles and his crew and staff, everybody so sweet there and organized. I know how much they assist with Catholic Community Media, and I can tell you, St. Vincent de Paul, that was our 29th annual event.
Wow.
And it was a great success. I want to shout out to Father Cleo for his support.
Yeah.
Chef Foles and Bishop Duca, Bishop Munch, all that came out
yeah.
to be a part of it. You got two bishops, a great chef, a great pastor, and mm-hmm. just people that really do care. They counted their blessings, and we handed a lot of frozen soup. Only Chef John, you know, if you want ice, you go find an Eskimo. They can sell you ice. Chef Holt can sell frozen soup, and I think he's the only chef in the world that can do that. That's how good yeah. stuff is.
Well, I remember many, many years ago, it used to be in-house.
Yeah,
the church in the hall, and that was fun and as well. But, boy, it was also a lot of work involved with that, where this is easy and people could take it home. They don't have to eat it that day.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
You're pulling up, and you got all these bishops and chefs there.
Well, you got John Pasarak and a few others singing. And playing
JP,
music.
He was strumming the guitar.
Right.
He does such a great job. And yeah, we're going to go back to some form of sit down next year. But the frozen soup's going to be available because it's still darn popular.
Yeah, you know? There's something to be said for that.
It's so darn popular mm-hmm. that we just got to continue it. But we're going to have a sit down next year.
Okay.
Very good. Well, I want to touch on the pharmacy. And the reason I do is on your website, and as you get to reading and scroll down, you really learn a lot about the St. Vincent de Paul Community Pharmacy. And I'm amazed at the number of people that you help on an annual basis. Over $600,000 in prescriptions that you guys have available in the form of donations to those in need. And a lot of people don't realize how expensive medicine is and the need in our community. I was amazed at the amount, both the amount of medicine as well as the cost that you save people.
No doubt about it, and a shout out to Pat Shingleton, WBRZ, Fill Prescription for the Needy campaign. We just concluded our 27th annual campaign with that event, and you know, Fill Prescription, the Greater Baton Rouge Clinic, Baton Rouge Clinic, they assist us in that endeavor. And you're right, lots of lives saved, and people come to us when they're desperate, and people not only donate funds to that great, great service, they donate their time, their talent, and they also donate medicine. That, you know, when somebody may get a medicine directly from the pharmaceutical manufacturer, they get it filled and it's still in the manufacturer bottle, we can accept those donations. And just a quick story, we had a gentleman that came to us. He was in need of a prescription that cost $20,000 a month.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were able to provide him with that medicine.
Do you do that?
Somebody had donated it to us.
Yeah.
They were taken off of it, put
okay.
on something else, and it was on our shelf, and we were able to help him in his time of need. So it was really uplifting to be able to do that.
And that's why I bring it up, is people need to be aware of that, because the average prescription even today is like $30, and
that's
not cheap. And for people are living paycheck to paycheck,
that's right.
Now, this particular was a specialty experimental kind of drug, but it was pharmaceutical, and this person was on it, and his so most drugs are going up in cost, but you know, generics are very affordable, and that's I would say that's a vast majority of what we fill are generic meds. So when somebody makes a contribution to us, that's where we put it in our purchases. It is amazing to see the stories of people that come. There's always, no matter what protections are in place, there's always a crack that people will fall in, and we yeah. help them, whether they're in that old donut Medicare Part D hole, or yeah, which is much smaller than it used to be, or just somebody that makes a little bit too much to be eligible for any assistance.
Yeah, with Medicaid.
There are a lot of those individuals.
Yeah, and not to mention somebody may have a disability, lose their job, and all of a sudden they don't even have insurance, and they've got to get medicine.
That's correct. We see that a lot.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
doubt about it.
What about
what it's all about?
Yeah. You guys set a record last year in serving meals. We got about a minute to go. Share with everyone that record. And if you don't, I have the number if you don't know the number.
Oh, no. I got it right on top of my head. 310,000 meals. You know, anytime you do 310,000 meals is amazing.
Jeez.
And I think we're on course to either meet or surpass that this year for sure, because just Easter Sunday, we served over 500 meals, which is a busy Easter for us. And so we saw new faces, and every day we're seeing new faces. And that's why it's so important to become a part of the ministry and activity of St. Vincent de Paul. It's a great society, and it does so much great work. As you said earlier, 1,500 volunteers every month, and we have an invitation to everyone to serve.
Wow. Well, Michael, thank you for the good work you and your volunteers do. It is an army, and you're taking care of the homeless and those in need in our community day in and day out for decades now, and we appreciate your efforts, brother. Have a good one.
Have a great one. Thank y'all so much.
Take care. All right, it's 45 after the hour. Coming up next, Connie Marshner and her new book, Monastery and High Cross, right here on Wake Up.
Eight past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Damian Collada and Gabby Smith. And right now, we're joined by Connie Marshner. She's a Catholic author. We're going to talk about the Catholic Irish tradition. She has a new book, Monastery and High Cross, The Forgotten Eastern Roots of Irish Christianity. Good morning, Connie.
Good morning. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Happy Easter to you. And
thank you.
I got to tell you, I was fascinated because I was reading a few notes about your book here, and this kind of blows my mind, because I picture Ireland as before St. Patrick as just a pagan island nation until he came along and started conversions. And I know a lot of people think of it that way, but you're saying not necessarily so, right?
Well, I don't want to take anything away from good St. Patrick, and he does deserve all the credit for converting the country.
Yeah.
But he was not the first Christian there.
Huh.
There is ample evidence through archaeology and art, and even in standing stones in Ireland, that there were Egyptian monks in Ireland, certainly in the 4th century, maybe even sooner.
Egyptian monks, you're saying?
Egyptian monks, yes.
Okay.
Now, remember that Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt, was the intellectual center of the Catholic Church. We forget this. You know, we forget the early history of our own church, which was very, very Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Greek was the first language of the church for the first three centuries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Alexandria was the center of theology. And that's where literally wars were fought over things like, well, gee, was she the mother of God or just the mother of Jesus?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, was he the God the Father? Did he bring forth this? How did those three people get it? All those issues, Nestorianism and Arianism, we call them now. But they were bitterly fought. Now, in Egypt, after the persecutions of Rome ceased, the Christians in large numbers went into the deserts to find peace and quiet because they wanted to be close to God.
Okay.
And when these fights, these wars broke out, they just wanted peace and quiet.
Oh.
And it stands to reason that they would get on a boat and just go to the edge of the universe, because that's what Ireland was,
yes.
The edge of the known world. But in Ireland, there is, for instance, on one of the high crosses, there is a sculpture, this is in Tipperary actually, of a solitary monk under a palm tree.
Really?
No. Yes. And how would that get on a high cross?
And these high crosses are old. I mean, right? I mean, how?
Well, they're 6th century.
Okay.
They're 6th century.
All right.
But in Agaboga, in County Cork,
yeah,
there is a well that has always been called St. Olan's Well.
Okay.
And by St. Olan's Well, there is a standing stone slab with Uum script on it. Now, that's a kind of horizontal lines and vertical lines script that was used before the Latin alphabet came to Ireland. And it went out of use by the end of the 4th century.
Mm-hmm.
And that says, pray for St. Olan the Egyptian.
Really? Okay. And this predates St. Patrick?
Oh, yeah, by at least a century.
My goodness. Okay.
Now later with Patrick, of course, he either found or brought monastic traditions,
mm-hmm,
which were very much like those in the East. The prayer patterns, the worship patterns, like for instance, no kneeling was allowed between Easter and Pentecost.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Interesting.
And that's the way it is in the East.
Interesting. Standing, I guess.
Standing, yeah,
yeah.
Because the Lord is with us, so why do we kneel?
Ah.
There's nothing to be sad about. Kneeling is the posture of repentance and sorrow, but the Lord is with us. Another custom, too, that for a long time everybody thought was an Irish eccentricity, was what the Irish called the custom of praying the 350s, which is to say, reciting all 150 psalms in one day.
Oh.
And people used to think, boy, those Irish, they really were
weird.
Yeah. No. In the Eastern monasteries.
That's why they drank.
In Egypt, you would do it one night. You would say the 350s in one night if you were a monk before you went to bed. You had to recite all 150 psalms every day.
Gosh.
So that there's evidence like that, as well as written evidence. In the Antiphonary of Bangor, there is a series of prayers, and one of which describes the monastery of Bangor, and this is in the north of Ireland,
uh-huh,
as being transplanted from Egypt. So the monks knew that their own tradition was from Egypt.
My goodness! I am familiar with them. I am familiar with County Clare, and there was a lake there. Anyway, Holy Island is on there, and it used to be a monastery. But I've seen the altars there, and the ruins of the altars were actually pagan altars. Conformed into Christian altars. Are you familiar with that?
I'm sure that happened a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
With the conversion of Ireland, what was great about St. Patrick's genius, was that he absorbed the pagan customs.
Uh-huh.
And the Druids, who were the pagan scholars and judges and priests, he converted them, and they became the intellectuals, so to speak, of Christianity.
So
it was a long, slow process of the conversion of Ireland.
So in your book, you're talking about the things that were found at that point to the a settlement of the Egyptian monks in Ireland and other evidence?
Yes, exactly.
Great.
And there are hundreds of place names around Ireland with the name Dizart, D-I-S-E-A-R-T, in them. Which is the Irish word for desert.
Desert, yeah.
And those were places where solitary monks would have lived.
My goodness. Well, Connie Marsner, how do we get a hold of your book? Is it printed yet? Is it out?
It is. It is printed. I just got my own copies just last week.
All right.
Its release date is just a couple days away, and it's from Sophia Institute Press.
Okay,
so
wonderful.
You can go to Sophia Institute Press website and get yourself a copy.
Well,
and
Connie,
I hope you do.
Yes, I will. This is fascinating. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, Connie.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right.
God bless you.
Take care.
You know what the high crosses were used for?
I'm scared to ask.
No, no. Mark, to Mark Boundaries.
Who?
Mark Boundaries.
Mark Boundaries. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay, I didn't know. I thought you were going to have one of your Damienisms there, and I was going to, you know.
Serious once
okay.
in a while.
Hey, every now and then. Okay. Okay. Hey, every now and then you surprise me, Damien, but go ahead.
I might surprise him again. We're going to pray.
Oh,
in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon the soul of those who do not believe in you and of those who as yet do not know you, but who are enclosed in the most compassionate heart of Jesus. Draw them to the light of the gospel. These souls do not know what great happiness is to love you. Grant that they too may extol the generosity of your mercy for endless ages. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time with Johnny Hebert. He'll give us his take on tomorrow's gospel. Dale Alquist joins us. He's a Catholic author and president of the Society of G.K. Chesterton. He's talking about Catholic social teaching. Dina Dow with the Diocese of Baton Rouge and Dr. Jordan Haddad from Notre Dame Seminary will continue our Catholic 101 segment. Thank you so much to Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, and Karen Cotton, our video technical director for today's show. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.